We're going to be talking about the consequences of being a child of God, which is to be a loving child of God. And we'll get to that soon. But anyways, I want to talk to you about the meaning of life. What's the meaning of life? There's a picture. You may look at that that progression and look at yourself and go, oh yes, I'm that third of it, or that third, or somewhere in the middle, whichever one you want to be. Maybe you're still a toddler in nappies. I'm not sure. I'm sure there's a couple back there. actually, there should be one before that as well, which is in the womb still. Now, what's the meaning of all that? As someone said, like when you go to a gravestone, you've got the birth date and the end date. What about the dash in the middle? That's the stuff that life is all about. What's the meaning of that dash? What do we do with that dash? Well, maybe the best place that people might go to is Wikipedia or Google it. What's the meaning of life? And as you go through Wikipedia, you start to get a whole list of things, and it starts to describe a whole lot of philosophies and different ways that philosophers, great thinkers, have tried to answer this question, what the meaning of life is. So just endure with me for a little while we look at what some philosophers might come up with. So Platoism, and I'm not doing a great job of this. I'm just a kid in this whole thing. I don't know it fully, but Platoism, the meaning of life is to attain the highest form of knowledge. You got an hedonistic point of view, which is that it's all about pleasure. Life is all about pleasure, and bodily gratification is more intense than mental pleasure. So that we should be doing all we can to just increase our pleasure. Do what feels right. You see it a bit today in today's world, don't you? You got classic liberalism, which is all about human freedom. Broadly speaking, it considers individual liberty to be the most important goal. It's all about our rights as a person. Then you have a utilitarian viewpoint of the meaning of life, which is that nature has placed humankind under the governance of two sovereign masters, pain and pleasure. There's two things, pain and pleasure, and that the good is whatever brings the greatest happiness to the greatest number of people. That's what the meaning of life is. So the greatest happiness kind of principle. There's a pragmatist who thinks the meaning of life is about discovering only via experience. You see snippets of this all throughout the way that people live today, don't you? And then you get to a certain point in philosophy where you get the absurdist kind of idea. So that's basically acknowledging that there is no meaning of life, and it's really, we have this crazy world where we've got these brains that keep searching for this meaning, but it can't be found. So what do you do with it? There's three choices. You can escape from it, you can become religious, or you can accept the absurdity of life and just live in that absurdity. As you start to go through Wikipedia, I don't know about you, but I got very depressed and confused. And I was thinking, there's got to be more to it. As a teenager, as a thinking teenager in university, I tried to find the answers through science. And in science, and some of you already know this part of the story for me. So I remember sitting in a genetics class, and the 20th century viewpoint from a geneticist point of view, and this is people like Richard Dawkins and a bunch of others, conclude that if there is a primary function to life, it's the replication of DNA and the survival of one's genes. Basically, the whole point of life is to pass your genes on to the next generation. We've evolved to do that. That's what family is. That's what love is. It's all about passing your genes on to the next generation. And once you've done that, then you can feel happy about the meaning of life. There's some other scientists that kind of don't agree with that. So James Watson, and I've got a picture of James Watson there, actually. One of those, I can't remember which one. That's Watson and Crick. They discovered the structure of DNA. I'll get onto them in just a moment. But if you want to know a picture of DNA, just look at your hand. There's some DNA there. So James Watson said, I don't think we're here for anything. We're just the products of evolution. In fact, Francis Crick one of those that discovered the structure of DNA, a really important discovery for scientists, said a little bit more about this. He said, "We find ourselves through no wish of our own on this slowly revolving planet in an obscure corner of a vast universe. We have a deep need to know why we are here. What is the world made of? More important, what we are made of. In the past, religion has answered these questions, often in considerable detail. Now we know that almost all these answers are highly likely to be nonsense, having sprung from man's ignorance and his enormous capacity for self-deception. The simple fables of these religions of the world have come to seem like tales told to children." And it goes on and has a special criticism of Christianity. "I do not respect Christian beliefs. I think they are ridiculous. If we could get rid of them, we would more easily get down to the serious problem of trying to find out what this world is all about." That's what Francis Crick thought, and his friend there, James Watson, as well. And they signed various different things and were quite outspoken about their atheistic beliefs. So how are you sitting now? What's the meaning of life? 42. Excellent. That's our next point. Okay, so you might be going, well, that's all getting a bit rubbish at the moment. Let's go on to the meaning of life based on Monty Python, for example. So Michael Palin, at the end of the film of The Meaning of Life, says this. Well, he gets an envelope given to him and he reads it out to the audience. Well, it's nothing very special. Try to be nice to people, avoiding eating fat. Read a good book every now and then and get some walking in and try to live together in peace and harmony with people of all creeds and nations. And that's it. That's what the meaning of life for the Monty Python is. Or 42 if you're Douglas Adams. It's interesting. So Francis Crick and James Watson. James Watson went on to become the national in America, head of the Institute of Human Genetics, and the start of the Human Genome Project, which was to map out all of our human genome. I'm beginning a bit sciencey this morning. I hope you don't mind. There was another Francis, who came on the scene, who took over his job when he retired, Francis Collins. Here's a picture of Francis Collins now. And he's still the head of the National Institute of Human Genome Research. He was also an atheist. He also of this opinion that the point of the world is basically that we're evolved to pass on our genes to the next generation. But something happened. When he was a medico, so he was at a bedside of someone, and this patient of his actually asked him what his atheist beliefs were, and has he explored that properly? Has he got the evidence for it? You're a great scientist. Go and be a scientist with your atheistic beliefs. So he went and researched, and he tried to find all the good reasons why he could hold this position. Trouble was, the more he found, the less he could hold on to his atheistic position, and the more he became enamored with Christianity. In fact, he became a Christian later on. In a couple of years' time, after all this search, he just went, I've got to give up. I have to change. I have to believe in Jesus. It says this: "I was an atheist, finding no reason to postulate the existence of any truths outside of mathematics, physics, and chemistry. But then I went to medical school, encountered life and death issues at the bedside of my patients, and I began searching for answers. I had to admit that the science I love so much was powerless to answer the questions such as, what is the meaning of life? Why am I here?" It goes on and says, "Faith is reason plus revelation. You have to hear the music, not just to read the notes on the page. Ultimately, a leap of faith is required. And for him, that leap of faith came in his 27th year after a search to learn more about God's character, which led him to the person of Jesus Christ. And here was a person who has remarkably strong historical evidence of his life, who's made astounding statements about loving your neighbor, and whose claims about being God's son seemed to demand a decision about whether he was deluded or the real thing. And after resisting for nearly 2 years, I found it impossible to go on living in such a state of uncertainty, and I became a follower of Jesus. In his book, The Language of God, a scientist presents evidence for belief, where he explains that a little bit more. He talks about love, about agape love. Actually, I'll get onto that in a moment. He says this, C.S. Lewis, in his remarkable book, The Four Loves, further explores the nature of this kind of selfless love, which he calls agape, from the Greek. He points out that there's this kind of love can be distinguished from three other forms: affection, friendship, and romantic love. So agape, in English, we might use the word love to say, I love pizza, I love chocolate, but also I love God. It's not the same thing. We don't love God like we like chocolate, do we? But in Greek, they've got extra words for these kind of things, and they use this word agape, and you can find it in the New Testament. And he points out that this kind of love it can be distinguished from affection, friendship, and romantic love, and are more easily understood in terms of reciprocal benefit, which we can see modeled in other animals beside ourselves. Agape, or selfless altruism, presents a major challenge for the evolutionist. It's quite frankly a scandal. It cannot be accounted for by the drive of individual selfless genes to perpetuate themselves. Quite the contrary, it may lead humans to make sacrifices that lead to great personal suffering, injury, or death without any evidence of benefit. In other words, he got to this realization that there's this love in humankind, in humanity, that is selfless. Why would Mother Teresa give up everything and to hang around the streets of Calcutta with the poorest of the poor when she could just go down the street, live in the monastery, and be okay? But she wanted to live with them and care for them in such an amazing way. Why would she do that? There's no evolutionary benefit for her. That's not passing on her genes. Why do humans do this? And as he was started to explore this more and more and more, he worked out that there's this inbuilt thing in humans of this agape love, which he couldn't explain scientifically. But he could when you start to read the Bible, the passage we just had read out. We love because God first loved us. Doesn't it say that? We love because God has implanted his imprint in us. We have God's DNA. And that DNA is to love with an agape love. A love that's unconditional, that's selfless. And he came to the conclusion, God must exist. Jesus must exist. So what's the meaning of life? Well, I think it's really straightforward, actually. I think Wikipedia has confused the world. And so have a whole lot of philosophers. Someone asked Jesus what the most important commandment is. And he gave this answer. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no greater commandment than these. That's the meaning of life, isn't it? Love God with everything you've got and love your neighbor as you love yourself. When I read that for the first time and I heard Jesus speak those words to my soul, I went, yeah, that is so much better than where I can get it from anywhere else. Agape love. I need to keep moving on. So if we look a little bit further, we go that there's these passages of loving others connected with being a child of God. If you are a child of God, you will love others. And we've had it read out already. Those are two passages in the New Testament. Dear friends, let us continue to love each other, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. You can't get any clearer than that, can you? From 1 John. And then also from 1 Peter. You have been born again, it says. And just before that it says, you must show sincere love for each other as brothers and sisters. Love each other deeply with all your heart, for you have been born again. If you are a child of God, what's your purpose? Love God with everything you got. Love others as you love yourself. And love with that agape love. That's what you do. That's your mission. I've got it there, but I need to keep moving on. I think there's three things that will help us to understand this agape love a little bit more. Firstly, from one of those passages, it says, we love because God first loved us. The apple doesn't fall far from the tree, isn't it? It's a very English expression, but it means that basically we have the same characteristics as our parents, don't we? There's a family trait. I do Callan kind of things. My kids do Callan kind of things. I'm sure you've got family traits that you have. If we are born again, children of God, we have family traits, don't we? And what are those family traits? We reflect the same love that God has for us. Simple as that. Secondly, the Holy Spirit helps us. Romans 5 says this, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. When we're born again of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit helps us to love. What's one of the fruit of the Spirit? Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit. Some people say that actually the Greek doesn't have all the syntax, all the syncope, like it doesn't have commas and full stops. So you could read that to say the fruit of the Spirit is love, and then a semicolon, if you like, and explaining what love means. And that the explanation that love is joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's a description of what love is. The fruit of the Spirit is primarily love. So be filled with the Spirit. And finally, follow Jesus' example. It says there in that passage from 1 John 4, goes on, God showed us how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world that we might have eternal life through him. And this is real love. This is real agape. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Finally, if you want to know what love is, Jesus is put there as a person that you can take seriously because he didn't just say stuff that sounded really good. And people wrote it down and went, yeah, I love what he's saying. That's great. He acted it out, didn't he? He showed how to love. He loved the lepers. He healed all people. It didn't matter who they were. He reached out to them all. The people that no one wanted. And then finally, he died that death on the cross. And even on the cross, he looked out for the people who were doing it to him. And he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. How much love is that? So follow Jesus' example. Who am I? I'm a loving child of God. To end this sermon, I want you to finish it off. How are you telling the story of agape love to others so that another Francis Collins can go, you know, I can't understand these Christians, this agape love that God has in them. There are so many stories in this congregation, in these pews right now, or seats, of agape love being acted out. I want you to share that with each other at morning tea and to finish off the sermon. Tell a story of how you know that someone else is loved with this kind of unconditional love. Tell stories of those kind of love to each other. And then go and do it yourself. Let me say a prayer. Gracious Lord, thank you for your love for us, agape love, unconditional. You encourage us, you give us strength. You love us without expecting anything in return. You love us selflessly. Holy Spirit, fill up within us. Thank you that we are children of God, born again. And Holy Spirit, increase the love that we have for you and for others and for ourselves. Help us to love like you love us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.